Hey, I'm Dan Murphy with Bridgestone Golf, and this is the Newton Standard.
Hey, Dan.
Hey, Sarah.
How are you?
I'm fabulous. What a great day to be here in Covington, Georgia with
you. That's it. Well, I'm really excited to introduce you and the rest of the world to our new podcast called The Newton Standard.
The Newton Standard.
The Newton Standard. So the Newton Standard was an idea and a concept to think about connecting business and industry and the community together. So I'm really honored for you to be my first guest today.
I am beside myself with excitement to be your first guest. And, you know, I can't think of anybody better to do a podcast than yourself.
Well, I appreciate that. I think, you know, for the listeners, for the viewers, this is really for the business person to get to know people, know the business, know the community of Newton in a different way. And so I'm really excited to think about what the possibilities are for here, for conversations and for community to connect through this podcast and through business.
Well, good. I think Bridgestone and my family, we've been in this area for a while, so I'm excited to share with what you think is appropriate.
Cool. Well, I'm Sarah Hall, obviously, as you know, and being here in the Development Authority, I get the unique opportunity to meet people like you. Being CEO of Bridgestone Golf is an amazing feat, and I'm sure in your career and business career. But the exciting part is that being here at the Development Authority, I get to interact with people like yourself, but also your employees, your potential buyers and customers and clients, and then also people that use your product. And so as we start, tell us a little bit about you. Tell us who Dan Murphy is.
Ooh. Well, I grew up near New York City in northern New Jersey and went to school in the South, Wake Forest University. Go Deeks.
Go Deeks.
And married a nice lady that I'm still married to all these years later, and have found my way into the consumer products business. I worked for General Mills, coincidentally, which is,
hey.
I was on the sales and marketing side. We have the manufacturing side here in Covington.
Yeah.
And then made my way into the sporting goods business. And from the mid-90s onward, I've been in the golf business. And so I've really enjoyed that and have found my way. I worked in Greenville, South Carolina for Maxfly Golf, Maxfly Slazenger. Went to California to work for TaylorMade for a short time and then came back. And my big break in my career came in 2004. Okay. And what happened then was Bridgestone Golf hired me to do the marketing for them. And I was really excited about that because the project at hand was the launch of the Bridgestone Golf brand.
Cool.
Bridgestone had marketed golf products under the Precept brand, if anybody remembers that brand. Yeah.
The ladies, right?
The lady, the MC lady, which was a crazy thing that happened around 2001. And around 2004, the strategic decision came, let's do the Bridgestone Golf brand. We'll carry the brand from the mothership, if you will.
Yeah.
And that was really exciting. And it was, you know, they had the resources and the time and the energy and great, great, great products. And my job was to make them fun.
That's awesome. So from food to sporting goods,
right,
and especially to golf. What a journey in that. That's really an interesting path. And along that path, talk a little bit about the relationship between, as you called it, the mothership, the Bridgestone Tire, right, Bridgestone Americas to Bridgestone Golf.
Well, we are part of Bridgestone Tire and Rubber, which is a very big tire and rubber company based in Tokyo. We also own the Firestone brand in America. So the U.S. headquarters is in Nashville, Tennessee. And so my job is kind of, I've got two things that I'm trying to do. One is make money like any business should. And thankfully we've been doing that.
Yep.
And then the other one is to promote the brand. You know, like Michelin, for example, has the Michelin guide, right?
Yeah.
Well, Bridgestone has its own owned brand outfit, which is us, Bridgestone Golf. And we help promote the Bridgestone brand to a very appealing demographic. Golfers tend to be a good demographic to sell premium tires to. And that's one of their goals.
Very cool. You know, going back in history and thinking about Bridgestone Golf, I mean, Bridgestone at that time was founded in what, 1930? And
right,
they started making golf balls a little while later in what, 1935. But it wasn't until maybe now, almost 35 years ago, that you came to Covington. And so, you know, I went back and kind of looking in the history books, if you will, and thinking about Bridgestone Golf coming to Georgia. It was one of our first Japanese American presence points here in Covington. 30 some odd years ago, I-20 was just starting to get established and really becoming a major thoroughfare to Augusta. But I thought some unique pieces was that you purchased your land for well under $20,000 an acre. Yeah. Land prices like that would be a dream today. but talk to us a little bit about that progression. I mean, obviously, you coming in around, you know, the early 2000s, but I mean,
right.
almost 35 years in one location. That's amazing.
Yeah, it's been a great run. I mean, Covington's been a great place to live and to work, and it also, from a business perspective, offers us access to a very good market. The Southeast is a very good golf market. Our competitors, Titleist Callaway, manufacture in Massachusetts, and a lot of California-based golf businesses, but there's not too many here in the Southeast. So it gives us a foothold into that market and gives us access to that market. More specifically, locally, we've had a great workforce all those years. Making golf balls is a skilled labor, and we've been able to recruit and retain and keep the right kind of people that we needed to do that. And then, of course, it's been an affordable place to be over the years as well. Like you said, yeah. the initial investment was reasonable, and Georgia's been a very friendly business environment. You know, we experienced that through the pandemic.
Yeah.
I'll give you a quick story about Georgia being a friendly business environment. Of course, everybody shut down during the pandemic, as you right. know, as we all had to do, and it was quite traumatic. But we were able to get up and running really quickly, and golf took off.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people during the pandemic, they were locked in, but one place they could go that was safe and fun was the golf course. And so a lot of people went out to the golf course, and golf boomed. And we were really fortunate because we were in the state of Georgia, as opposed to some other states of our competitors that stayed closed for an extended period of time. We got up and we got moving, and we were able to manufacture and take advantage of that wave. And that was really beneficial for us.
That's great. Now post-COVID era, do you think the boom is still there for golf?
It really is. And I do a lot of discussions about the boom, the golf boom.
Yeah.
And the big question in our industry is, can it sustain? Is it going to keep going? And the answer, I think, is yes, because there's two things. One was the COVID boom, and that brought a lot of people to golf. But there's also another fundamental thing that's happening in golf, and that is off-course golf, like Top Golf or yeah. simulator golf. A lot of people, there's actually some new data points out that show that off-course golf is as big as on-course golf, maybe
wow.
even a little bit bigger now. So people are participating in this off-course side, which for us, we sell golf balls. So we want people to go out onto a green grass golf course and hit those golf balls. But sure. we found that off-course side is a feeder system for ours, right? If you go to Top Golf and you have fun and you have a burger and a beer and
yeah.
play golf, you're more likely to come out to a real golf course and tee up a real golf ball, and that's good for us.
Yeah, it's like your training wheels for golf, right? You're getting started. And I think that's such a great way to put that, because I know I have friends that the 18 round like might be intimidating, even the 9, you know, hole or 2 hours out there, but going to have that beer, that burger, be amongst friends, getting into a bay for 30 minutes is much less intimidating before you actually hit the course.
Yeah.
So great, great thoughts in that. And that's something too. I mean, we saw our family go out to the golf course. As you know, my family well, we're a bunch of golfers, and especially my littlest one. But I thought it was really exciting to see him come together as our family to be able to spend that time. Well, along with that boom, though, talk about just the business of overall golf. Talk about the health of where Bridgestone Golf is as it matches up with some of the sure. names that you mentioned previously.
Well, during the boom, we expanded our production capabilities, right? There were a lot yeah. more people playing golf. Golf is, the golf ball business specifically, is up around 35% to 40% in terms of volume, right? So as an industry, we're selling that many more golf balls right now, and that's great. And we were able to really capture that tailwind and ride it hard. And so our business has been really good. We've been at this elevated level. I call it a plateau, but it's actually showing signs of growth. So even now, not only did we have the pandemic, did we have the fundamental change with the off-course golf, but golf got cool.
Yeah.
Golf got culturally cool. You see a lot of people, movie stars, rappers, and a whole cross section of culture coming and playing golf. A lot of other athletes, and if you saw Pebble Beach a couple weeks ago, you know, a lot of the athletes, Tom Brady.
Right.
Did you see him top Pro that in. Golf ball?
I did.
It was so funny.
Made us feel like a regular person.
Right?
I didn't feel as bad when I top my golf ball and do that. So, yeah, good point. If Tom Brady can do that, then it's okay for me to do
but
it,
But I think
too.
A lot of those athletes bring a whole new group of eyeballs and perspectives from a lot of new people. So, you know, we love it. Golf is booming and we're riding the wave.
That's awesome. What, you know, Bridgestone has been known for being the golf ball fitter.
Oh yeah.
And so, you know, how is that evolving? What has it led to? Do you think that's a part of the success of your sustainability with golf?
Absolutely. We came up with golf ball fitting in the early days. Those were like 2006, 2007, 2008. And it was a way to differentiate ourselves. Titleist is the 800 pound gorilla in our business. And they have a story to the consumer, and that is one golf ball fits everybody, right?
Right.
Play what the pros play. And we wanted to do something different. So we came up with the idea of fitting and the idea that we're not all the same. We don't all wear a size XL shirt or a size 12 shoe.
Yeah.
Right. And we don't all play stiff irons and you know, so there's differences. And so we applied that to golf balls. We talked about getting fit to the right golf ball. So we put teams of people out in the street, out to country clubs and different venues, and we're able to encounter, I think we've done 350,000, 400,000 fittings, just live fittings, and then another couple million of digital fittings. So it's been started out as a kind of a marketing program and became a brand identity for us.
That's really cool. I think, you know, getting fit, as you said, it's not one size fits all. And I'm going to segue a little bit into the fit of your company and your culture. So how many employees does Bridgestone Golf have here locally in Covington?
211.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
And so who's your favorite? No, I'm just kidding. but tell me, what does that look like? How does the Bridgestone employee, what's their fit? What type of employee is a Bridgestone employee?
Well, when I introduce the company to new people or prospective people, I always say that we kind of have this dual personality, right? We are part of Bridgestone Tire and Rubber is a big company with a lot of big company attributes. But we're a small group. I mean, 211 people is not that much. Yeah. And we're fighting against other companies that are bigger, well, better funded. You know, they have more tour players. They have more money to spend on tour players, more money to spend on TV advertisements. So we kind of have this dual personality. In one way, we're part, when it's convenient for us, frankly, we're part of this big multinational conglomerate.
Yeah.
And then other times, we're just a bunch of creative entrepreneurs that figure out ways to outsmart the market and outmaneuver the market. So we kind of have a dual personality, and we'd like our employees to kind of fit that. And I think generally we do. We've had great luck with the team that we have. I'm really proud of the team we've got in place right now in Covington.
You have an amazing team. One thing I've always noticed, and I love coming to your factory and being able to meet the people, is that I always find that the people are incredibly precise. They're very creative. And I think that you know, to build and create a golf ball, I think you have to have that mindset. Precision truly is everything. And so, talk to me a little bit about how you inspect the golf ball and what that looks like.
Well, manufacturing is all about discipline and repeatability and our systems throughout the plant, for quality checks, and performance checks. We have, 130 different performance checks throughout the factory, everything from what is the consistency of the rubber in its raw form all the way to the very end when it's packaged and put into sleeves. So, you know, we're looking at we have the distinction, one of the very last quality checks, which maybe you remember if you went through our factory, was the individual inspectors that look at and touch every golf ball.
Yeah.
And there's a conveyor belt and they sit at a table and they look at these golf balls and pick out as a very last quality check to make sure everything is perfect.
And that was something that was amazing to me, right? But again, I think it's the value of your golf ball. It's the value of why a Bridgestone product above the rest is truly being able to be viewed and looked at. And again, that precision is really expressed in the quality.
Yeah. And, you know, it's a Japanese manufacturing culture is very precise and very disciplined, and our factory follows that discipline. So we do make the best golf balls in the world for the best players in the world. So,
well, and that's an amazing point. I don't think anybody can contest that, you know, the greatest if you say he's the greatest golfer there ever is, Tiger Woods, has been playing your golf ball for many years.
Well, it's a little known fact, a little inside baseball for you, is we've been manufacturing and providing him golf balls all the way since around 2000.
Wow.
Right? And you think about it, they weren't branded Bridgestone, but they were manufactured by Bridgestone. And he readily admits this in a lot of interviews and advertisements, and we use it from time to time. So, yeah, he's the best that's ever walked on green grass, and we're proud that he chooses our golf ball, which is made right here in Covington, Georgia.
Hey, that's exciting. You know, so from, as we always say, from cereal to golf balls and everything in between. So really amazing for that. Well, Dan, you know, I want to also kind of switch gears and go into a little bit of the community. Yeah. So, you know, you mentioned you're from New York. So the big question is, do you consider yourself a Georgia native now?
Yeah, people don't usually pick me out for being a northern New Jersey, actually. Not
okay.
New York.
New Jersey.
But yeah, usually with my lack of accent and and somewhat calm demeanor, I suppose, people don't really pick me out. I don't belong up there. I belong here. I'm home.
You're home. You're home. We love to hear that. So, you know, being in Newton County, you have your family here. Tell us a little bit about, you know, raising your family in Newton and Covington.
Well, I came in 04 and I moved the family in 05 and we've been here ever since. And we've had great success here. I've got three kids. I like to think they're great, great kids. And,
they're great.
They are. They're not bad. And, my wife and I had great success raising them. They went to the public schools in Newton County, Eastside High School, which has some of the best teachers, university, middle school, high school, whatever. There's some of the best teachers in the world at Eastside High School. And so they experienced a really high level of learning. And then all three of them went to Georgia Tech. So we were three for three at Georgia Tech, and it was interesting when they got there. You know, you wondered how they would compete with kids that grew up in the north side of Atlanta and some of the more wealthy communities and the better known communities other than Covington. And they really came back and talked about how they appreciated having grown up in Covington because it gave them a little bit more of an overall view of life, you know, because they got to go to school with a lot of different kinds of people and such. And it wasn't just one kind of people. And some of the kids that they encountered in college were a little less prepared, frankly, than the kids from Newton County. So it worked out well.
That's a great point. I will have to agree. I'm a, you know, Eastside alum as well too. And so I think the school system here gives a wonderful dynamic of not only in educational opportunities, but also diversity. Mm-hmm. And I think that certainly it's prepared us for the real world. And I would agree with that. I think it's also remarkable too that you have three kids going to Georgia Tech. I mean, they probably could have chosen anywhere in the country, but they stayed stateside. And what an opportunity of higher education in the state of Georgia.
Well, as a parent, you know, working for a living, I didn't mind the Hope Scholarship.
Great point. You know, it's interesting to me as we've seen a lot of new people come into the community is how I'm heard of at times the Hope Grant is, but for those that don't know, the Hope Grant offers basically free education for higher education of a public university. So 100%, I would agree that that is a wonderful attribute of being a local Georgia.
I think it was one of the great things about living here, and the Georgia Tech experience for us was wonderful. Then they got through, they had, you know, good grades, and the best part is they got good jobs now, and they're debt free because we were able to afford, you know, a reasonable number on the education.
That's fantastic. And as much as that conversation goes around right now about, you know, debt and school systems and that, gives you more time to go play golf.
It does. It does. And we're enjoying the you know, this stage. They're all out of the house. We're empty nesters, but we're enjoying Covington and the restaurants, and, you know, it gives us a little more freedom and a little more time for leisure. So we're enjoying that as well. The trails are great. I bought a bicycle. So I'm going up and down.
You bought a bicycle, Dan. It's great.
Cricket Frog Trail and the East Side Trail.
Yeah.
Trying to get some exercise, doing that as well. So
you know, that's That's a wonderful program that has come up in a nonprofit organization, the Cricket Frog Trail, that took an old Norfolk Southern rail line and turned it into a 15-mile biking walking trail that I think is truly incredible. That's, you know, again, seeing a lot of ways that it affords the young to, you know, the old to really be able to get out and exercise across Covington.
Yeah, it's cool. It's a great trail.
Very cool. Well, I'm going to turn into a little bit of a segment, kind of a rapid fire. So again, you now being in Georgia, you being here in Newton. So I want you, when I give you a word, you know, give me your favorites off of these. Okay. So they don't have to just be in Newton. They don't have to be in Covington. You can pick, or it can be broader in this too, but we're going to start.
This is unrehearsed.
So, unrehearsed.
You know, I don't know where we're
totally
going.
Totally off the market. So we'll see what you go with. All right. Favorite restaurant.
City Pharmacy.
Ooh, that's a good one. All right.
I used to love RLs.
Yeah.
Wish they were still here.
Yeah, it was a wonderful Cajun place and that.
That's good.
All right, so Braves, Hawks, Falcons, or Atlanta United?
Braves.
Good.
Become a good baseball fan.
Yeah, I'm excited for them this season.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting.
Acuna wants to be here forever.
All right.
We'll take that.
Here we go.
Favorite activity in Georgia?
Playing golf.
Of course. Favorite course?
Ashton Hills right here in Covington, Georgia.
It's a good one. You know, I think it's a hidden secret for many too. It's a difficult course.
It is. It is. We get down to Cuscoilla down by the lake some too. So there's so much good golf here.
There is a lot of good golf. Well, also too, what do you play?
I play the RX.
You play the RX?
Oh, yeah.
All right.
The RX. Yeah. Yeah. These are a couple of our tour level balls. That's the XS. And that's played on tour, and as is the X. And we have RX and RXS.
So your favorite golf ball then. Okay.
RX.
Got
absolutely.
It. The North Georgia Mountains or the Georgia Coast?
Oh, I'm a mountain guy.
Mountain guy. Okay. Walking trails or just camping?
Oh, walking.
Okay.
I'm a big hiker. We've got big dogs and love to go out and walk in the woods.
Very cool. All right. Well, that concludes it. You gave us some of your favorites. We appreciate it. The last piece of the segment that we're going to go into, and we can't not talk about what's going to happen. Everybody's favorite week out of the year here in Georgia. It's the most exciting time.
Oh my gosh.
Here it comes. It's coming. And, you know, I think in some ways, I think Georgians and golfers, but especially Georgians, you feel it in the air, right? Mm-hmm. Like a day like today, it's beautiful outside and you start to feel what's coming that first week of April, and it's the Masters.
Oh, we're so excited.
So excited. So Dan, tell me a little bit about your history with the Masters.
Well, I've been lucky. I get to go pretty much every year, and I guess I don't know exactly. I'm figuring 25 times I've been.
Wow!
So I'm pretty darn lucky. Yep, I mean, we at the office, we pinch ourselves and say, "How did we get to do this?
Right.
Be in this business?" And you know, I get paid to go to the Masters, so it's pretty cool.
It's a great job, great gig.
But yeah, no, we're excited about this year. We've got Tiger will be there. We're excited about that. He's feeling pretty good. From what we heard, Freddie Couples is one of our guys, will be there, and he always shows up and plays well. And then we're really excited about Jason Day.
Yeah.
He's been playing well, and going into the Masters, I think he's got a real shot, and he's playing some new product that we have, and he's going to get us on TV, so we're excited about that.
That's awesome. You mentioned the new product, so... The new product that just came out with Jason Day, the Mindset, right?
The Mindset. Yeah, Mindset. We went back in January, went to the PGA show, which is the big trade show of the year, and launched it. And the reaction was great. And basically what Mindset is all about is, I'll give you the overall pitch. Think about what's happened in my career on the PGA Tour. At first it was equipment. Got in the 90s, it got bigger and it got fitted, and that all happened on tour and kind of trickled down. And then you think when Tiger came on the scene, golf as a sport really happened, and athleticism was the thing. Everybody started working out, and that started on tour and trickled down, right? And what's happening on tour right now that's trickling down, and what Mindset is all about, is mindfulness, right? And using the mental approach and a disciplined mental approach to play better. And so we've put a logo on a golf ball, a symbol on a golf ball that symbolizes a three-step process. And it's basically three circles. I have to show it to you.
Yeah, sure.
The mindset process basically has three circles on it, right?
Yeah.
And you can see the red talks about planning your shot and picking your target.
Very cool.
And that's the first step. The yellow talks about visualizing your shot. And then the green is a focus point, just to clear your mind and let your athletic self hit the golf ball. And what we're finding is this sort of approach is something that PGA Tour players almost all do. Tiger Woods does. And Jason Day is the guy that we learned this process from and are making it available to consumers. And so, we think it's going to help people, not only just to play a better ball, but play a ball that can help you become better as well.
That's awesome. I'm excited about that. I think some of when I play is that concentration point. You know, I always get lessons from my little one who shares that I'm not watching the ball enough or focusing enough in that.
You ever notice that when you get on the, when you're warming up, you're on the range and you're hitting great shots.
Yeah.
Then you get on that first tee and you start thinking too much.
Right.
Well, mindset is basically a method to help you think less.
Okay.
And just let your athletic self do what it can do and don't get in your own way. Don't let swing thoughts overcrowd your thought process.
That's really cool. I look forward to seeing Jason Day play in Augusta coming up and obviously using this ball and seeing what he's going to do. So what is one thing that you think that a first-time Masters goer should experience?
To see the whole thing.
Okay.
I would say walk the whole course. Start at one and go all the way to 18 and come up that hill at 18. And two things will happen. You'll get to see everything. You'll get to see the whole course and you'll be tired and sleep well that night.
That's certainly true. I think I've walked more steps in Augusta than anywhere else in my life. That's for sure. Team egg salad or team pimento cheese?
No pimento cheese. Sure.
Pimento cheese.
Yeah. And the barbecue. Don't sleep on the barbecue.
Don't sleep on the barbecue. That's a great one. All right. Last question that I have for you, Dan, in our chat today is who are you picking as the winner? Who's taking the green jacket home this
year? Jason Day.
Jason Day.
As he returns to the number one player in the world.
All right. Heard it here first.
At Masters is going to be a big step for him.
Fantastic. Well, Dan, thank you so much for joining me today. Thank you for coming on the Newton Standard. We appreciate it. This is an exciting way to connect business and our community together, and we appreciate it.
Well, it's a great honor to be here on episode number one.
There you go.
Thank you so much.